Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Outcomes Rocket. So excited you tuned back in today. Today, I have the privilege of having an amazing guest and friend back on the podcast. His name is Dr. Steve Beeson. He's the founder and CEO of Practicing Excellence. They're a nationally recognized company. He's a nationally recognized speaker, physician, and author whose life mission is to coach and develop clinicians to be their best. Dr. Beeson started his career as a family medicine physician with Sharp Reese Steely Medical Group in San Diego. And throughout his career, he's been dedicated to coaching, developing, and engaging clinicians to improve the clinician and patient experience. So I'm excited to have him back on. Steve, such a pleasure to welcome you.
No, delighted to be back.
Look, it's been too long. I know we were chatting before hitting record on the podcast today. It's been about three, four years since you've been on the podcast. So just to level set with everyone, what is it that got you into the business of healthcare from the bedside? And tell us a little bit more about you.
Yeah, no, for sure. Certainly where I am right now was not a plan. Things, doors open up, you walk through them, and then you walk through the room, and all of a sudden you're in a totally different place you could not have imagined. And that was certainly the case for me. And my plan for myself was to see patients all day, every day for 35 years and call it a day. You know, we sacrifice a lot to become physicians. It's a perpetual delayed gratification from high school to college to med school to residency with a lot of sacrifice along the way. And when you get there, the intent is to utilize those skills and training and experience to see patients one at a time to advance their wellness. And I love doing that. But for me, probably about, I don't know, 7 or 8 years into my career, I had an opportunity to begin coaching clinicians with the Sharp Reese Steely Medical Group. We were struggling a little bit in terms of how patients were experiencing care that we were delivering. And so I was called upon to serve as a director of an improvement effort that we call the Sharp Experience. And I had a chance to learn a lot about how we apply human development and continuous improvement and mastery in the art of medicine and patient connectivity, and found pretty remarkable things that happened to me personally, what it was like to be a better clinician for the patients that I took care of, and what medicine was like to do that, and what it was like for patients to have clinicians that really listen and care and connect and partner and kind of Sherpa healthcare, as opposed to collecting symptoms, generating a diagnosis, and issuing treatment orders in a paternalistic fashion, which never works very well in any area. But I really began to love the art of human development and developing clinicians to become better for their patients, better for themselves, better for their colleagues, better for their teams. And we saw really incredible organizational results in terms of how patients were experiencing care, our ability to grow market share. But I think most importantly to me was, you know, we were able to increase physician engagement to the 95th percentile, and we were able to drop physician turnover by about 80%. By simply focusing on clinicians becoming the kind of clinicians that they thought they were going to be when they joined the profession. So I dove into the work of how do we apply human development to clinicians and care team members and leaders and even non-clinical folks to be really contributory to what we want to become as an organization, and also to do their work that drives great sense of meaning and purpose. And so I walked into that world, and that was the experience that ultimately prompted me to found what is now Practicing
Excellence. That's awesome. And you haven't looked back since. You've been able to help many physicians and care providers with the way they deliver care, patient experience. Talk to us a little bit more about Practicing Excellence and the type of work that you guys are dedicated to putting out there.
The founding of Practicing Excellence came about probably in about 2012, so over 10 years ago. And what I was realizing at that time in my life, because I was still, in 2012, I was still managing a full-time clinical practice. I was coaching and training and developing clinicians at Sharp. And I was traveling around the country, going to other organizations who were raising their hand to say, we want to develop our clinicians to achieve some of the outcomes that you've done at Sharp, that Sharp has done. There are many people that were involved in our improvement. It wasn't just me. There's many people that were contributed to that. And my life was spinning out of control. All of those are an FTE. I was managing my patients, and I was coaching clinicians, and I was traveling to other organizations. And what I realized in that point in my life is that developing clinicians to raise their capacity to create outcomes really works. It benefits patients, organization, it benefits them. And there was really nobody doing it. Nobody that was helping clinicians on the critical skills of patient connectivity, team collaboration, leadership effectiveness, or even taking care of themselves. And so there's a massive opportunity, a massive potential benefit, but it was super hard to do. It was super hard to scale. It was hard to synchronize. It was hard to syndicate and distribute and sustain. It was just, we were very analog, doing workshops and shadowing and talks. And I was just going site to site, driving. And that's why it took us a decade to get to render the results that we saw. I was thinking to myself, if human development works and skill building works to help enrich the lives of clinicians and raise their contribution and contentment, then could we come up with a technology solution that could power continuous improvement and continuous mastery? And so sitting in a Starbucks, I was thinking, and I was with a buddy of mine, and we began to banter ideas about to say, could we use technology to syndicate continuous improvement and skill building? And actually, when I left Starbucks, I actually went by Office Depot, and I got this little like workbook that was, and I began to write down all my ideas for what practicing excellence was going to be. And I still have that workbook, but that was the beginning. That was the beginning of the
journey.
That's
great. And how is the industry doing now, Steve? Like, this was a little over 10 years ago. It wasn't a thing. Mm-hmm. How are we doing now? And what's adoption looking like for these types of programs?
It's a great question. I think that the healthcare industry always seems to be in crisis. It's too expensive, too inconsistent. It's burning out its people. It's providing highly variant care. It's inconsistent clinical outcomes. There's lots of care discrepancies in different populations where it's so difficult and complicated to navigate American healthcare. So American healthcare has a lot of work to do. And that's always been that sort of a steady state. But what's different now, I think, is that number one, we're realizing that we can't continue to do healthcare delivery the way we're doing it right now. The standard, what we call fee-for-service model, is resulting in over-treatment of patients and under-treatment of patients and highly variant care, inappropriate care, over-treatment. And it's absolutely unaffordable in terms of how American healthcare is being delivered right now. And that's been known for some time. And there's some big shifts in terms of how healthcare is being delivered and paid for that can help to bend us towards what we call value-based care, which is we reimburse systems and physicians for the health outcomes that we're able to create to advance preventative care, health preservation, patient empowerment, patient participation. All those things are big macro forces to make healthcare better. But I think the thing that we're really seeing now is the importance of the people delivering care. We have just eclipsed our highest levels of recorded burnout in the physician space.
Highest levels.
There was a...
Even beyond COVID.
Yeah. So...
That's crazy, man.
Even beyond COVID. Yeah. So this last year, in 2023, it was 63% of clinicians are experiencing at least one symptom of burnout. And burnout being cynicism, which is an awful thing to live with. It's a byproduct of just not feeling good about the life that you're leading and the work that you're doing and having this sort of sense of hopelessness in the day-to-day work, exhaustion, and depersonalization. And we're seeing the same thing in the nursing industry. And we're seeing a lot of workforce instability as a result of the conditions that people are living in right now in terms of delivering care. So the thing that's really advanced that I've seen over the past 10 years is not only the realization that working in healthcare is difficult, but I think with every challenge, there can be a reflection and realization that we have to take care of our people and provide conditions that they work in that allow them to show up on Monday morning to say, Yeah, I love what I do. I love the impact that I'm able to make with patients. I love the teammates that I work with. I love the purpose that we serve. I appreciate how our leaders are listening and deburdening us and appreciating us and empowering us. And there's now a shift to take care of the healthcare workforce, which is an excellent consequence of the conditions that I think we're facing right now. There's actually the beginning of sourcing, meaning people call us and they say, hey, practicing excellence, can you help us restore the vitality of our workforce?
So you're getting calls now.
And yeah, we're growing despite a brutal market right now. There's been about an 80 to 90% contraction of healthcare margins compared to pre-margin, compared to 2022 in particular. It's recovered a little bit in 2023, but there's high compression in healthcare systems right now in terms of the money that they're making. But I think that the realization is if we don't have an engaged and retained clinical talent pool, then we don't, have a healthcare delivery system.
Yeah. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
No, that's fascinating. 10 years ago, you're out there trying to convince people they need this. Today, we know we need this and we're reaching out. As you take a look at everything that we've got going on today, Steve, like what's been one of the biggest setback you'd say that you've seen starting the business, keeping it going?
You know, I would say, first of all, starting and growing a business, even with a great idea and a great product and great people, is super hard. It's like, I've just accepted that as a reality. It's like, what roadblock is going to be thrown up today?
Yep.
And it takes twice as long and takes twice as much money and twice as much blood, sweat, and tears to execute an outcome. So that is just the baseline operations of growing a company. And I think particularly in the healthcare sector, because healthcare is just, it's complex. It's got all the workforce issues. It's got financial pressures. And it's got so many different regulatory requirements and performance accountabilities. So it's just a industry under strain, not unlike education. Yeah. So, but I think my greatest frustration with growing this company has been the deep commitment and knowledge that helping and supporting and developing your people can create such vitality in the workforce and such impact on patients. It's so clear that when we help our people to become what they aspire to be for patients and for each other, then so many good upside things can happen. So you see that in your mind and you've lived that experience and you've walked that journey, and I walked that journey at Sharp. But then there's so many people that choose not to do that, to say, no, we're going to start a new service line and we're going to focus on increasing our revenue and we're going to increase our RVUs, and that's going to be our objective priority. And so, you know, you see this pathway to creating really adaptive, culturally well, effectively run, deeply collaborative, purpose-driven, making an impact in the lives of patients, pathway for what healthcare can be. And you see a lot of systems say, it is about revenue and it is about cost, and we got to optimize our margin, and that's what we're doing. So go away, Steve. That's not the sort of thing that we're interested in right now.
So, that's tough.
There's that.
When you see the value, and what are your thoughts on, so there's the health systems, and then there's been just a large amount of unique approaches to care delivery, like decentralized practices and groups that are focused on particular specialties. How are you seeing these groups be different than legacy providers?
I think that there's lots of alternative ways of delivering and receiving care now that represent a real competition to traditional healthcare, wellness centers, and some homeopathic approaches and comprehensive vitality centers, in addition to all the retail centers where people just want to say, I want to be able to have a clinician on my terms when I can, on my phone, right now, when I need it. And traditional medicine is, well, can you come in a week from Thursday at 1:45 in the afternoon? They go, well, I have a job and I'm sick right now. So there's a rising body of care delivery systems that are not only focusing on vitality and prevention and patient involvement and less traditional ways of advancing wellness. And there's an entire cottage industry of centers that are doing amazing work on that front. And there's retail competitors that are getting a lot of private equity backing and investment, VillageMD, and just a whole host of other healthcare delivery systems that are designed around access and convenience and technology enablement, mobile care, telehealth, so we can meet the demands of today's consumer. And then you've got the plodding big healthcare systems that are doing it the way we've done it. So the big healthcare systems are trying to figure out how do we begin to innovate to compete with these other delivery systems. But I think the rise of alternative delivery systems is a byproduct of American healthcare not meeting the needs of the population and the rising sense of consumerism and what they're expecting from healthcare.
Yeah, it's a real deal. And are you seeing this flow of new models gravitate toward you and practicing excellence? Do they want your services? Do they see the value of them?
I think I would say almost all of our customers are big traditional healthcare systems. The band of those that have said, we want to take care of our people. We want to use people development to execute our future state. And we want to have a scalable people development strategy to become better for our teams as leaders and for our patients and as an organization. So we have not serviced the new innovators, and most of ours are the big integrated billion-dollar a year healthcare systems that are looking to become better.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate it. Good to understand the focus and kind of the direction and the way you see the market shaping. It's very interesting how it's all coming together. If your technology platform that educates physicians and caregivers, what's a trend or technology that you feel is going to change healthcare as we know it?
I think AI is going to change everything.
You guys using any LLMs or anything like that in what you do? Or
we're not using it now, but we're not directly in the delivery of our services, but we're using technology solutions to enrich and enhance our content development, our ability to streamline content production and distribution. And yeah, I think that some of the technology enablement that's occurring in healthcare, to give you one example, is the development of what we call asynchronous care. And asynchronous care is a patient who comes in with a constellation of symptoms, and they're able to interface with an AI clinical engine that is able to identify their demographics, have access to all of their clinical information and all known evidence-based care pathways and protocols. And so they go through a set of symptoms and questions and they will modify their questions based upon how the patient is responding. Then the patient is interacting with an AI engine.
And it feels real, right? Like it feels like
it feels real. And there are some that are even developing clinician avatars,
which is insane.
They can interface and test information. Yeah. So that's crazy. And so what happens is the patient talks with this AI-driven clinical engine, and this thing is able to collect a history, create a differential diagnosis, which is a list of possibilities, and from a vast resource of clinical information, is able to make a clinical recommendation and present that to the physician. So there's asynchronous connection between a clinician overlooking and reviewing the note and when the patient actually interfaces. It's called asynchronous care. And the physician can look at the note and say, agree, initiate plan, or can modify it, or can prompt the patient to come in if the patient needs to be seen. But the point being is that utilizing technology to expand our ability to have access and to really begin to reduce the variance of care that we deliver, because we as people, as humans, we have a high degree of variance in terms of our own personal ways of doing things, Our own biases, our life experiences, but these AI clinical engines are able to better access evidence-based care and reduce the variance and also radically improve access. Because a typical clinician encounter, you go in to see a physician for a problem, is a 15-minute endeavor. And these AI interfaces that are asynchronous are about 3 minutes, and they can occur 24/7, 365. Yeah,
the access is unparalleled.
And it may be better.
Yeah, it's a new world out there. And certainly Got to stay ahead of it because you don't want to get left behind. So certainly appreciate you sharing some of what's top of mind for you in that technology advancement department. Yeah. I love connecting with you, Steve. Your focus on bringing people up and giving them what they need so they could be fulfilled and engaged. What closing thought would you leave our listeners with today? And where can they reach out to you and follow you for ways to work with you?
Some of the things that I want people to think about who may be listening to this in or out of healthcare is that there's really compelling evidence and there's strong precedent that there's actions that we can take within healthcare to make healthcare better. Better for patients, better for care teams, better for communities. I happen to believe and have a belief system that developing our people to live out a compelling future state that's deeply connecting for patients and highly collaborative for healthcare system cultures and really effectively led, the pathway to those future state manifestations of deeply connected, highly collaborative, well-led healthcare organization, the pathway to that is through human development and developing the skills to allow that to happen. And we love taking that journey with people to say, we're going to help our people soar and to be the kind of care team members where they're super proud of kind of the work that they're doing. And they look back at the end of a day and they go, man, I killed it today. Yeah. I love what we're doing for our patients. And I love how we're helping each other and lifting each other up. And yeah, it's still hard, but yeah, it's just good. And getting that cultural reality to manifest in this burden industry is life purpose thing for me personally. And practicing excellence just happens to be the catalyst to allow those things to manifest. So I think if people are interested in taking that journey about how do we apply a human development strategy to make an amazing healthcare system that revitalizes teams and really engages patients, we love taking that journey with you. And so probably the best way to get a hold of me is probably just through our website, which is just practicingexcellence.com. And you can peruse we've got 15 case studies and we have published results because it's all about, if you say you're about offering something data in healthcare, the next question should be, does it work? And prove exactly. It that it works, because we don't have the resources to spend time, money, or effort on things that are not proven.
I love it. Well, Steve, I appreciate you sharing that resource with us. Folks, we'll leave everything in the show notes so you could take a look, learn about the work that Dr. Steve Beeson and his team are doing at Practicing Excellence. Check them out. At the end of the day, it's about taking action on the stuff that you do that you hear here, that you hear on the podcast, to take your organization to the next level. So, Steve, thank you so much for being with us today.
You bet, Saul. Keep up the great work.
Awesome.
All right.